జయ రాధ మాధవ కుంజ బిహారి గోపిజన వల్లభ గిరి వరధారి జయ రాధ మాధవ కుంజ బిహారి గోపిజన వల్లభ గిరి వరధారి యశోదనందన బ్రజ జన రంజన యశోదనందన బ్రజ జన రంజన యశోదనందన బ్రజ జన రంజన యమున తీరవన చారి యమున తీరవన చారి జయ రాధ మాధవ కుంజ బిహారి గోపిజన వల్లభ గిరి వరధారి జయ రాధ మాధవ కుంజ బిహారి గోపీ జన వల్లభ గిరివరధారి ఓం విష్ణుపాద పరమహంస పరివ్రాజకాచార్య అష్టోత్తర శత శ్రీమద్ హిస్ డివైన్ గ్రేస్ అభయ చరణారవింద భక్తి వేదాంత స్వామి శ్రీల ప్రభుపాద్ కి జయ ఓం విష్ణుపాద పరమహంస పరివ్రాజకాచార్య అష్టోత్తర శత శ్రీమద్ హిస్ డివైన్ గ్రేస్ భక్తి సిద్ధాంత సరస్వతి ఠాకుర్ ప్రభుపాద్ కి ప్రేమ సే కహో శ్రీకృష్ణ చైతన్య ప్రభు నిత్యానంద శ్రీ అద్వైత గదాధర శ్రీవాసాది గౌరభక్తవృందకి శ్రీ శ్రీ రాధాకృష్ణ గోప గోపినాథ శ్యామకుండ రాధాకుండ గిరి గోవర్ధన్ కి బ్రజభూమి శ్రీ వృందావన్ ధామ్ కి పురుషోత్తమ క్షేత్ర శ్రీ జగన్నాథ్పురి ధామ్ కి గంగమయీ కి జయ యమునమయీ కి జయ భక్తిదేవి కి జయ తులసీదేవి కి జయ కలియుగ పావన హరినామ సంకీర్తన కి జయ హరే కృష్ణ మహామంత్ర కి జయ గ్రంథరాజ శ్రీమద్భాగవతం కి జయ ఆల్ గ్లోరీస్ టు ద అసెంబ్ల్ డివోటీస్ ఆల్ గ్లోరీస్ టు ద అసెంబ్ల్ డివోటీస్ ఆల్ గ్లోరీస్ టు ద అసెంబ్ల్ డివోటీస్ ఆల్ గ్లోరీస్ టు శ్రీ గురు అండ్ శ్రీ గౌరాంగ ఓం నమో భగవతే వాసుదేవాయ ఓం నమో భగవతే వాసుదేవాయ ఓం నమో భగవతే వాసుదేవాయ హరే కృష్ణ. రీడింగ్ ఫ్రమ్ శ్రీమద్ భాగవతం క్యాంటర్ 4 చాప్టర్ నెంబర్ 10 ఎంటైటిల్డ్ ధ్రువ మహారాజ్ ఫైట్ విత్ ద యక్షస్. టెక్స్ట్ నెంబర్ 1. మైత్రేయ ఉవాచ ప్రజాపతేర్దుహితరం శిశుమారస్య వైధ్రువ ఉపయేమే భ్రమిన్నామ తత్సుతౌ కల్పవత్సరౌ ప్రజాపతేర్దుహితరం శిశుమారస్య వైధ్రువః ఉపయేమే భ్రమిన్నామ తత్సుతౌ కల్పవత్సరౌ ప్రజాపతేర్దుహితరం శిశుమారస్య వైధ్రువః ఉపయేమే భ్రమిం నామ తత్సుతౌ కల్పవత్సరౌ.
మైత్రేయ ఉవాచ प्रजापतेर्दुहितरम् शिशुमारस्य वैध्रुवः
माताजी
मैत्रेय उवाच प्रजापतेर्दुहितरम् शिशुमारस्य वै ध्रुवः उभये मे ब्रह्मन्नाम तत्सुतौ कल्पवत्सरौ
प्रजापतेर्दुहितरम् शिशुमारस्य वै ध्रुवः उपये मे भ्रमिं नाम तत्सुतौ कल्पवत्सरो प्रजापतेर्दुहितरम् शिशुमारस्य वै ध्रुवः तत्सुतौ कल्पवत्सरौ मैत्रेय उवाच द ग्रेट सेज मैत्रेय कंटिन्यूड प्रजापतेः ऑफ द प्रजापति दुहितरम डॉटर शिशुमारस्य ऑफ शिशुमार वै सर्टेनली ध्रुवः ध्रुव महाराज उपयेमे मैरिड ब्रह्मिन भ्रमी नाम नेम्ड तत्सुतौ हर्सन्स कल्प कल्प वत्सरौ वत्सरा ट्रांसलेशन एंड पर्पोर्ट बाय हिज डिवाइन ग्रेस एसी भक्तिवेदांत स्वामी श्रील प्रभुपाद द ग्रेट सेज मैत्रेय सेड माय डियर विदुरा देयर आफ्टर ध्रुव महाराज मैरिड द डॉटर ऑफ प्रजापति शिशुमार हूज नेम वॉज ब्रह्मी एंड Two sons named Kalpa and Vatsara were born of her. Purport. It appears that Dhruva Maharaj married after being installed on the throne of his father and after the departure of his father to the forest for self-realization. It is very important to note in this connection that since Maharaj Uttanapada was greatly affectionate towards his son and since it is the duty of a father to get his sons and daughters married as quickly as possible, why did he not get his son married before he left home? The answer is that Maharaj Uttanapada was a Rajarshi, saintly king. Although he was busy in his political affairs and duties of government management, he was very anxious for self-realization. Therefore, as soon as his son Dhruva Maharaj was quite worthy to take charge of the government, he took his opportunity to leave home just like his son, who without fear left home for self-realization even at the age of 5 years. These are the rare instances from which we can see that the importance of self-realization, spiritual realization, is above all other important work. Maharaj Uttanapada knew very well that to get his son Dhruva Maharaj married was not so important that it should take preference to his going away to the forest for self-realization.
ओम अज्ञानतिमिरांधस्य ज्ञानांजनाशलाकय चक्षुरुन्मीलितं येन तस्मै श्रीगुरवे नमः श्रीचैतन्यमनोभीष्टं स्थापितं येन भूतले स्वयं रूपः कदा मह्यं ददाति स्वपदान्तिकं वन्देहं श्रीगुरोः श्रीयुतापदकमलं श्रीगुरून् वैष्णवांश्च श्रीरूपं साग्रजातं सहगणा रघुनाथन्वितं तं सजीवं साद्वैतं सावधूतं परिजना सहितं कृष्णचैतन्यदेवं श्रीराधा कृष्णपादान् सहगणा ललिता श्रीविशाखान्वितांश्च हे कृष्णकरुणा सिन्धो दीनबन्धो जगत्पते गोपेशा गोपिका कांता राधा कांता नमोस्तुते तप्त कांचन गौरांगी राधे वृंदावनेश्वरी वृषभानुसुते देवी प्रणमामि हरिप्रिये वांछाकल्पतरुभ्यश्च कृपासिन्धुभ्य एव च पतितानां पावनेभ्यो वैष्णवेभ्यो नमो नमः जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभो नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधर श्रीवासादि गौर भक्तवृंद हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे
हरे कृष्ण वी आर इन द 10th चैप्टर ऑफ द 4th कैंटो द एपिसोड ऑफ ध्रुव महाराज बिगिन्स फ्रॉम द 8th चैप्टर द एंटायर उत्तानपद डायनेस्टी इज डिस्क्राइब्ड फ्रॉम द 8th चैप्टर बाय मैत्रेय इट गोज अप टू द एंड ऑफ 4th कैंटो एंड इन द 8th चैप्टर वी हैव सीन how Dhruva Maharaj was insulted by Suruchi and he left home and he was guided by Narada Muni and he went to Madhuvan and he performed austerities and he got the darshan of the Lord. And in the 9th chapter we have seen the beautiful prayers offered by Dhruva Maharaj to the Supreme Lord who gave him mercy and darshan. He said, Ya nirvritistanubhritam tava pada padma dhyanat bhavajjana katha shravanena vasyat sa brahmanisva mahimanyapi nathama abhut kimtvanta kasi lulitat patatam vimanat. So, if happiness has to be attained, that can be attained only in two ways. Number one, tava pada padma dhyanat, by meditating on the lotus feet of Lord Krishna. Number two, bhavajjana katha shravanena vasyat, by hearing Krishna Katha in the association of devotees. After that, Dhruva Maharaj offered this classical prayer. Bhaktim muhu tava pravahatam tvayi me prasango bhuyadananta mahatam amalashayanam yenanja solbada muravyasanam bhavabdhim neshye bhavad guna katham vritapana mattaham bhaktim muhu pravahatam tvayi me prasango. If someone can perform devotional service in the association of devotees constantly, bhaktim muhu means constantly, pravahatam tvayime prasango bhuyad ananta mahatam amalashayanam. What is the glory of that kind of association, or whose association should we seek? Those who are amalashayanam, those who are completely spotless in their character and totally devoted to Krishna. They have no other material aspirations. Okay. Ananta mahatam amalashayanam yen anja solbana muru vyasanam bhavabdhim. Although the Supreme Lord is directly present in front of Dhruva Maharaj, Dhruva is desiring that I want the association of devotees and I want to hear Krishna Katha in the association of devotees. I don't want anything else. Because he is completely sure that if I hear Krishna Katha in the association of devotees, I can just transcend this material existence very easily. Yena anjasa ulbana uru vyasanam bhava abdhim. Bhava, this material existence is like an ocean which is so fierce and terrible and unsurpassable, but I can easily surpass this material ocean to the degree I take association of devotees. To the degree I hear Krishna Katha in that association, right? So like that, Dhruva Maharaj, just within 6 months, he attained spiritual realization. Prabhupada writes here, even at the age of 5, Dhruva Maharaj just went out of his home. Of course, the reason Dhruva Maharaj went out of his home was not his detachment, Here Uttanapada was retiring from his home out of detachment, but Dhruva retired from his home out of attachment at the age of 5. Of course, there is another retirement episode at the end of Dhruva's life after 36,000 years of rule. But at the age of 5, when Dhruva Maharaj retired, he was filled with attachment and ambitions and even revengeful attitude towards Suruchi and his stepbrother Uttama. So Dhruva Maharaj attained spiritual realization in very short time. And then he came back home and Uttanapada received him well. So Uttanapada was also a great devotee, a pure devotee. However, at one stage of his life, in one phase of his life, he was so infatuated with his younger wife, Suruchi. So even in the lives of great devotees also, there are some stages or there are some phases in their lives where we may not see the best consciousness in them, the best behavior in them. Uttanapada was definitely a great soul, no doubt about it. But at one point, he was so attached to his younger wife. Because of that, he neglected his chaste and noble wife, Mother Suniti, and naturally her son Dhruva. And in last couple of months, we have discussed this whole episode in great detail. I'll not go into those details. But at one point, after Dhruva Maharaj retired from his home, Uttanapada regretted so much. And after guiding Dhruva Maharaj to Madhuvan, Narada Muni came to Uttanapada and had a discussion with him. My dear Uttanapada, you are a great king. So, how are you doing? How is your dharma, artha, kama going on? He did not ask about moksha. So, people who are so much absorbed in political responsibilities and other material affairs, they don't have much time to think about moksha. Now he is thinking. In 4th canto, 10th chapter beginning, he is thinking about moksha. But earlier, he was absorbed in dharma, artha, kama only. So, towards the end of the previous chapter, Narada Muni asks Uttanapada, so how are your dharma, artha, kama going on? Then Uttanapada was so regretful. He was so repentant. I have neglected my chaste wife. I have neglected my noble son. I have become so henpecked in the hands of my wife, and it's a great offense I have done. And my son, just alone, 5-year-old child, he went into the forest. Some jackals must be attacking him. Tigers must be attacking him. He must be died. What will happen? His small child, he's supposed to be taken care of by parents, and he's alone in the forest like that. He was very, very morose, and he condemned himself as a very hard-hearted person. So, as Prabhupada writes in one purport of the first canto, devotees also may sometimes do some mistakes, but they do accidental mistakes, not intentional mistakes. And the sinful reactions for such mistakes are burnt in the fire of honest repentance of devotees. But still they desire punishment. That's their glory. But when someone honestly and sincerely regrets and repents for one's mistake and tries not to repeat that mistake, then one will be protected from the sinful reaction for that mistake. So Dhruva Maharaj was neglected by Uttanapada at one stage, but Uttanapada realized his mistake and he did not repeat that mistake. After Dhruva Maharaj came back home, he was taking care of Dhruva very nicely, very affectionately. And after Dhruva Maharaj left home, he was also taking care of Suniti properly, right? So the first best thing that we can do is to behave appropriately in every situation. But if one fails to do it for whatever reasons, at least one should honestly regret it and then try to rectify the mistake and try not to repeat that mistake as much as possible, right? So Uttanapada did that. So he was a great devotee, but at one stage of his life, he was like this. But now, after Dhruva Maharaj came back and he found good qualities in Dhruva Maharaj, that he was appreciated very well by the citizens, and he himself has the necessary qualities to be a king, an emperor, a ruler, and all the ministers also approved him. So for all these reasons, Uttanapada found that Dhruva is a qualified person to sit on the throne. As soon as Uttanapada saw the qualifications of Dhruva Maharaj, the next feeling in his heart was, I don't need to be around. Dhruva is qualified to sit on the throne. I don't need to be around. Let me retire. And do what? Do full-time devotional service. I just have to pursue my spiritual realization. I don't have any reason to stay in this opulent kingdom, enjoying the services of so many servants and ministers and soldiers and so many other people. So, Uttanapada was a Rajarshi, as Prabhupada writes here. Rajarshi means, Raja means king, Rishi means saint, a sage. Rajarshi means a saint amongst kings. So, although he was a king, he was saintly king. So, one of the important or prominent qualities of a saint is his detachment, his spirit of renunciation. So, great Rajarshis in the days of yore, they would rule the kingdom only with responsibility, not attachment. Okay. So, in the name of responsibility, sometimes we could get attached to our positions. And in the name of detachment, sometimes we are very irresponsible to our duties. So, our responsibility should not turn into attachment, undue material attachment. And our detachment should not turn into undue irresponsibility. Right? So, Rajarshis have a balance of this detachment and responsibility. They are detached, they are simultaneously responsible. They are responsible, they are also detached, they are renounced. So in that spirit, Rajarshis rule the kingdom. So as soon as this Rajarshi Uttanapada found an able successor, Dhruva Maharaj, who is capable of ruling the kingdom, he immediately wanted to retire from the kingdom. He did not want to sit on the throne. So Prabhupada often compares this kind of Rajarshis with the modern politicians where someone wants to cling on to his throne or through his post throughout one's life, right, till the fag end of one's life. But Rajarshis were not like that. Uttanapada was not old. He was young. He still have a lot of stamina in his body. That too, he's from Satyayuga body. Definitely he has very good strength and influence and power and opulence and followers and many other things. And he is practically the king of the whole planet. But he chose, he made this voluntary choice to stay in some forest, in some caves, eating fruits and roots and living under trees. He voluntarily chose that kind of lifestyle, right? How much detachment is there? So, this is a proof that so far he has been ruling the kingdom not out of attachment to the power and position, just as service to devotees, service to his citizens. So, Rajarshis rule the kingdom not out of attachment to the position and prestige, but just to act like the representatives of Krishna to take care of citizens, and especially guide the citizens on a spiritual path, right? And Uttanapada is one great example. And many times we see in this world, somebody could be frustrated and then he may develop detachment, right? So Uttanapada's renunciation or detachment is not born out of frustration in material life. He is very well situated with two noble, chaste, obedient, favorable cooperative wives and two noble sons, right, who are very well qualified, who are very obedient to him. And all citizens are cooperating with him, ministers are cooperating with him. He was not having any issues. Anga Maharaj retired because he had a bad son. That's a different story. But Dhruva Maharaj is a very good son. Uttama was also quite good. And he had all good facilities at his disposal, but still he retired. Means he gave more importance to spiritual realization than taking care of the kingdom or family and other political responsibilities, right? So one has to do the needful according to one's role and responsibility, but internally that detachment and devotion have to be there. So Prabhupada writes that he did not even wait for his son to get married. Definitely, Uttanapada loves Dhruva Maharaj. Initially, he was neglectful, but later he loved so much. At least, who could have waited till the marriage of Dhruva Maharaj? But Uttanapada retired, and after retirement of Uttanapada, Dhruva Maharaj arranged for his own marriage. Okay? So, even I cannot wait for my son's marriage also, I have to just retire. So, the urgency of self-realization is acknowledged by Uttanapada. Now, you see that Dhruva Maharaj, he had affection for his brother Uttama. Anyways, I'll come to this little later. I'll continue on the theme of renunciation only. We have many other examples of Rajarshis who retired in this style. For example, Narada Muni went to Prachinabarhi. So Prachinabarhi was also a great king. At one point he was attached to so many ritualistic karmakandic sacrifices, and he was growing kusha grasses everywhere in his kingdom. They are very much needed in sacrifices. And as soon as he completes one sacrifice at one place, the preparations for another sacrifice in another place already began. Right? So like that, sacrifice after sacrifice is conducting. And so many animals are also sacrificed in that. And Narada Muni thought that why this fellow is so absorbed in this karmakandic sacrifices. He's supposed to be taking care of self-realization. And then he preached to him 5 full chapters, very technical and exhaustive chapters of Paranjan episode, right? Even after hearing for 5 chapters from Narada Muni, he did not understand. He did not understand that Paranjana that Narada Muni is describing is me only. So, then Prachinabarhi was told another pastime, another allegorical story. Finally, Narada Muni directly came to the point. So, what I meant is, you should stop this karmakandic sacrifices, take to devotional service. Then Prachinabarhi said, oh, you should have told straight. But he finally agreed, okay, I'll take to self-realization. Let my sons come. They went for austerities. Prachetas were the sons of Prachinabarhi. They were doing austerities for 10,000 years underwater. So Prachinabarhi was about to wait for them, but Narada Muni said, you don't have to wait for them. They'll come. They will take care of the kingdom. Don't worry. Your ministers are there. They will take care of the kingdom. So you should just retire. So you cannot delay your self-realization. So Prachinabarhi retired even before his sons got married. And the Lord himself arranged for the marriage of Prachetas. He found one girl, Marisha, and told Prachetas, all of you should marry her. So it was not Prachinabarhi's responsibility at that time. So he retired. And we also have this example of Prithu Maharaj. So Prithu Maharaj ruled the kingdom so wonderfully. Although Mother Earth was holding all the natural produces, just because the ruler, who was Vena at that time, he did not rule properly. So he was holding all the natural produces. But still, Prithu Maharaj, out of his great power, he could extract all of it. And then he ruled the citizens so nicely. He conducted 100 sacrifices. Of course, the plan for 100th sacrifice had to be sacrificed because of divine intervention that you all know. So, Prithu Maharaj also retired at the right time. So, without getting attached to any of the facilities. And later, we see in the case of Priyavrat Maharaj also, he retired at the right time. And we also see Swayambhu Manu, who was very eager to retire, giving the kingdom to Priyavrat Maharaj. Like that, Bhagavatam is filled with so many examples where great Rajarshis ruled with responsibility and detachment without getting into attachment or irresponsibility. Right? So they ruled responsibly and at the right time they retired. In fact, Bharat Maharaj, his retirement was compared like this. Just like somebody passes stool, and he would not even turn back, how much did I pass, unless his stool sample is going for a test, right? Then also, in a very detached manner, people may touch it, but otherwise, people may not keep track of how much they passed and what is the texture, what is the color, and they don't even look back. In that way, our Bharat Maharaj just left his kingdom at such a young age, and he retired and went to Pulahashrama and then performed austerities for the pleasure of Lord Vasudeva. So like that, Rajarshis are so detached in their spirit, and they are very responsible also. So Priyavrat Maharaj did not accept the responsibility of the kingdom with great eagerness, right? It was not his desire. Somehow Swayambhu Manu came and Brahmaji came and pushed him, why don't you just accept this kingdom? Then Priyavrat Maharaj said, okay, fine, I'll do it. So although it is a responsibility given to Priyavrat Maharaj, Priyavrat Maharaj did not do a half-hearted job. Once he is there as a king, he ruled according to whatever is necessary for the citizens' prosperity. He did not do a detached and half-hearted job where they have given this service without my liking. They have forced me, my authorities have forced me. He was not doing like that. He became a replica of sun, and he was giving light on the other side of the hemisphere when the sun was giving light on this side. So like that, Priyavrat Maharaj exhibited a lot of responsibility while ruling the kingdom. And at one point, he realized that after all these material relationships and positions as king and facilities, this and that, they are all products of illusion, illusory energy. They are all temporary ultimately. So what is the ultimate reality is my devotional service unto Krishna. I need to go back to that role, right? As a matter of responsibility, people may rule very responsibly, but they cultivate the detachment within and they are dedicated to Krishna, and they seek every opportunity to dedicate their entire lives for the practice of Krishna consciousness, to do full-time Sravanam, Kirtanam, Vishnu Smaranam and all. But not at the cost of ignoring their current responsibilities, right? So this example we have seen. Now, how does one develop that kind of renunciation as a result of bhakti? Vasudeva bhagavati bhakti yoga prayojita janayati asu vairagyam jnanam cha yada haitukam. So if one performs devotional service unto Krishna, knowledge and detachment will automatically follow. The root cause of all Vaishnava qualities that a Vaishnava possesses is basically bhakti unto Krishna. Whether it is detachment or satisfaction or tolerance or equanimity or humility or compassion or satisfaction or whatever it may be, all these Vaishnava qualities have their root in one's dedication and devotion to Krishna. Yasyasti bhaktir bhagavatya kinchana sarvair gunaistatra samasate suraha harava bhaktasya kuto mahadguna manorathena satidhavato bahim. Yasyasti bhaktir bhagavati akinchana. If one is doing akinchana bhakti, unattached, unmotivated, uninterrupted, devotional service unto Krishna, sarvair gunaistatra samasate suraha. All the good qualities of even demigods also will manifest in the personality of a devotee just by dint of his devotion to Krishna. So it is bhakti which is the root cause of all Vaishnava qualities, right? First comes Krishna Padashraya, taking shelter of Krishna's lotus feet. Then other qualities will manifest. And of course, cultivation of those qualities will facilitate one's bhakti also, both will go parallelly. But ultimately, it is the devotion that gives rise to all great qualities. So bhagavati akinchana sarvair gunaistatra samasate suraha harav abhaktasya kuto mahadguna. If one is not a devotee of the Lord, what kind of appreciative qualities he could have? Harav abhaktasya kuto mahadguna manorathena asati dhavato bahi. One may just traverse on the path of mental concoction or imagination if one is not a devotee of Krishna. Right, so anything which is not connected to Krishna or which is perceived as not connected to Krishna is only a product of Maya.
Everything is connected to Krishna. A devotee is a person who sees everything's connection with Krishna. Everybody's connection with Krishna. Such that is called Krishna consciousness. When that is there, renunciation will automatically follow. Detachment and giving importance to bhakti will automatically follow. Now we see, as I said in the beginning, Uttanapada did some mistake at one phase of his life. Right? Sometimes devotees also may do mistake, but what is the difference between a devotee is committing mistake and a materialistic person, demoniac person committing a mistake? The difference is that devotee is honest, and when he is asked to rectify the mistake, when someone points out that this is your mistake, he doesn't justify. If needed, he may clarify, but he will accept that mistake, he will regret for that mistake, and he will try to rectify that mistake, and he will try not to repeat that mistake. And with that attitude, one can be completely purified. Now we'll see the case of Dhruva Maharaj. 10th chapter, if we move a little ahead, what happens is, Dhruva Maharaj's brother Uttama was killed by Yaksha. Okay, when Yaksha kills Dhruva Maharaj's brother Uttama, and Dhruva becomes furious, he becomes so angry. He was overwhelmed with affection for his brother, Uttama. So he goes to fight with all these yakshas at one point. And when he went to Alakapuri and he was fighting with the yakshas, so many yakshas come. I think it was 1,30,000 yakshas come to attack him. And he was alone with his charioteer. And each of them was throwing three arrows at a time. So 3 into 1,30,000, I think it was 6 arrows. They were throwing 3 arrows and Dhruva was throwing 6 arrows. So like that, 1,30,000 into 3 are coming at every moment. How much time it will take to release an arrow? Hardly 2-3 seconds, maybe 5 minutes, maybe 1 minute. So every moment so many arrows are coming and Dhruva alone was counteracting all of them. And at one point, Dhruva could completely subdue all these people, and he thought that, okay, now I took my revenge. But at any point, these yakshas who were attached to black arts and magical tricks may attack me at any moment. So to his expectation, they all created a lot of illusions, and so many sages came, and these sages reminded Dhruva Maharaj of Narayanastra. So Dhruva Maharaj remembered Narayana and he released Narayanastra and he started annihilating all the yakshas, right? So at one point, he was about to completely vanquish the race of yakshas. Then Swayambhu Manu came there. My dear grandchild, Dhruva Maharaj, you are getting a victim, becoming a victim of Atirosha. Undue, unnecessary, excessive anger. So for one yaksha's mistake, how can you annihilate the entire race of yakshas? It's not appropriate for you. So Dhruva Maharaj got the darshan of the Lord also. He was a pure devotee, but still he got little overwhelmed with affection for his brother and he was a bit distracted and he manifested excessive anger and he was about to kill all the yakshas. And Swayambhu Manu came. The next chapter, entire full chapter is dedicated to giving a counseling session to Dhruva Maharaj on the battlefield. So please stop this fight. You know what Dhruva did? Yes, I did a mistake. I'm sorry. I'll go and beg forgiveness from Kubera. Actually, why Dhruva Maharaj had to do like this? Because earlier in his childhood, Dhruva Maharaj had revengeful attitude towards Uttama. And if Dhruva Maharaj had not reacted in this way, little violently, towards the death of Uttama, people might think that, oh, Dhruva is still holding some revengeful attitude towards Uttama, or he was still having some grudge. Maybe he is rejoicing the death of Uttama. Maybe he was thinking that I can rule the entire kingdom on my own without Uttama. So maybe, earlier there was a competition, right? He wanted to sit on the throne. He was not allowed to sit on the throne. Uttama was sitting. Now, he was sitting on the throne. Uttama died. So people may perceive that he may be happy with this. just to prove that he had absolutely no negative feelings or envy or revengeful thoughts towards Uttama, Dhruva Maharaj fought with Yakshas so violently and he was about to annihilate. Then Swayambhumanu said, "My dear Dhruva, it has been proved you have affection for Uttama. You only have affection for Uttama. Just to show that you have a lot of affection for Uttama, you don't have to kill all these Yakshas. Please relax. Please don't kill so many people." So then Swayambhumanu, when he gave that good advice, Dhruva Maharaj submitted. So devotee may sometimes become a victim of some shortcomings or some mistakes or something like that. But when another devotee comes and rectifies those mistakes, that devotee is humble enough to accept that advice and implement that advice without being arrogant. Parikshit Maharaj's son, Janamejaya, he was doing sacrifices. Just because one snake, Takshaka, killed Parikshit Maharaj, Janamejaya was doing a sacrifice to kill all the snakes in this universe. And in that sacrificial fire, he was invoking the presence of all the snakes and the snakes were falling into the fire. Then suddenly Brihaspati came. He said, "Arey, why are you killing all the snakes? It's not proper." Right? Just because one snake killed your father, that's actually ordained by the Lord, you can't kill all the snakes. So sometimes we can become so extreme in our thoughts that we may lose balance. But devotee is a person, although sometimes he may lose his balance, but still he obliges to good advice. When someone intrudes, someone intervenes into their life and then gives them good advice, they are humble enough to accept that advice. They are not arrogant to reject that advice. Right? So now, you see, Dhruva Maharaj was insulted in the beginning of his life. The opening scene of Dhruva Maharaj's episode is, he was insulted by Suruchi. Then, Dhruva cried and went to Mother Suniti. Okay? And Suniti pacified Dhruva. So as I said sometime back, all the good qualities of devotees are originating from their devotion to Krishna. So now we saw the renounced spirit of so many Rajarshis. Now let us see the tolerating spirit of devotees. Okay. We also saw the obedience of devotees. We saw the renunciation of devotees. Now let us see the tolerance and forgiveness of devotees. Now, Dhruva Maharaj went to Mother Suniti and Suniti was also crying. She was also feeling the pain. Davagdina davalateva bala. Just like a tender creeper just melts in forest fire. Similarly, Mother Suniti was really feeling excruciating pain because of the insult done to her son. So far, she was neglected and she was insulted by her co-wife and her husband. But now her son is also affected and she could not tolerate it internally. She was feeling pain, but ultimately she did not have any grudge. She did not have any negative feelings or envy towards Uttama or Suruchi or Uttanapad. She told Dhruva Maharaj, "Tvameva vatsa shraya bhritya vatsalam mumukshu bhirmrugya padabja paddhatim. Ananya bhave nija dharma bhavite manasya vasthapya bhajasva purusham. Tameva vatsa ashraya bhritya vatsalam." My dear son, you please take shelter of Krishna. The very first thing that Mother Suniti told Dhruva was, never have any revengeful thoughts or envious thoughts or hatred towards anyone, even if they have caused some harm to you. So now Dhruva Maharaj was hissing like a snake. He was so angry. Definitely Mother Suniti detected that he must be angry with Suruchi. So she immediately said, "My dear son, please do not have any hatred towards anyone, even if they cause some harm to you, even if they insult you." So first she tried to remove negativity from this tender child's heart. Second, she said, whatever insults or dishonor or difficulties or calamities that we face in our life are only results of our own past deeds. Right? So she was not saying, "Today Suruchi insulted you, tomorrow she will face the consequences." That's not her intention. Yesterday we have done some mistake, today we are facing the problem. You see, the principle is applied to oneself, not to the other party. So Mother Suniti just counseled this 5-year-old child. She was teaching the good conduct. You please don't have any hatred towards anyone, and you understand that it's all because of our own past deeds. We should not hold anyone responsible. They are like postmen giving us the letter which may carry some death news. The third thing that she said is, whatever desire you may have, take shelter of Krishna. Okay. Tameva vatsa ashraya bhritya vatsalam. The Lord is bhritya vatsala. He is very affectionate to his devotees. I am one mother, I can give the affection of one mother, but Krishna can give the affection of millions of mothers. Whatever desire that you have, please take shelter of Krishna. Okay. So like that, she directed Dhruva to the shelter of Krishna's lotus feet. That's her glory. So she could tolerate all this pain, and she could think with proper composure, what is the right action? The right action is to take shelter of Krishna. So Prabhupada writes in those purports that just now Suniti is also feeling the pain, and Dhruva is also feeling the pain. Both were crying. Just sitting there and crying does not solve any problem. One has to seek the solution. And the solution, the best solution is taking shelter of Krishna. One should do the needful to the best of one's capacity within one's human limits. But something is beyond our control. No, Suniti cannot do anything with Uttanapada and all this. No, she just tolerated, and then she took shelter of Krishna. Because she herself was a great devotee of Krishna, she could direct Dhruva Maharaj also in taking shelter of Krishna. Right? So that was her proper response. She could exhibit tolerance and forgiveness because she was a devotee. So now Dhruva Maharaj, he was overwhelmed with undue affection for his brother, and he was annihilating all the yakshas. And when he intruded, or Swayambhumanu intruded, he immediately changed his stance on that. And he just went and said sorry to Kubera. So now we see devotees can respond appropriately in proper situations because of their deep devotion to Krishna. And even if they could not respond properly in some situations, even if they do some mistakes, they can rectify that mistake by the guidance of another devotee. So like that, being in the association of devotees is the most effective way of living life. Right? It's the most purposeful way of living human life. So we get the right advice by the inspiration of Paramatma. Some devotee may come and then guide us in some way, even if we do some mistakes. If we are very perfect, we may not do any mistake. If you are not that perfect, we may do some mistakes, but we will get proper guidance in the association of devotees. That's why in so many episodes of Bhagavatam, when pure devotees are also standing right in front of the Lord and begging for the association of devotees, it's quite logical. They are not being sentimental. The Lord may say, "I am standing right in front of you and you are asking to hear Krishna Katha in the association of my devotees. Why do you need my devotees? I am there right in front of you." He said, no, I want your devotee association. Prahlad says, how can I give up the service of Narada Muni? I want his service and I want the association of devotees. So by regularly nourishing ourselves with Krishna Katha, by hearing Krishna Katha, we develop the maturity to live properly in the life, to respond appropriately to various situations in this life. And that Krishna Katha is profusely available only in the association of devotees. Now, in the fifth canto, there is a beautiful shloka. Nayatra vaikuntha katha sudhapaga nasadhavo bhagavatastadashraya Nayatra yagnesha makhamahotsava surepi loko pinavaisa sevyatam. Here. Nayatra Vaikuntha Katha Sudhapaga, the place where Vaikuntha Katha is not being given importance. Vaikuntha Katha Sudhapaga. Sudha, the nectarian Krishna Katha is compared to a river, and the demigods say that the place where the river of this nectar of Krishna Katha is not flowing. Second point. ನಯತ್ರ ವೈಕುಂಠ ಕಥಾ ಸುಧಾಪಗ ನ ಸಾಧವೋ ಭಾಗವತಸ್ತದಾಶ್ರಯ ಅಂಡ್ ದ ಪ್ಲೇಸ್ ವೇರ್ ಭಾಗವತಾಸ್ ಗ್ರೇಟ್ ಡಿವೋಟೀಸ್ ಹೂ ಆರ್ ಟೇಕಿಂಗ್ ಶೆಲ್ಟರ್ ಆಫ್ ದಟ್ ಕೃಷ್ಣಕಥಾ ರಿವರ್ ಆರ್ ನಾಟ್ ಎಕ್ಸಿಸ್ಟಿಂಗ್. ಓಕೆ, ಥರ್ಡ್, ನ ಯತ್ರ ಯಜ್ಞೇಶ ಮಖಾ ಮಹೋತ್ಸವ ದ ಪ್ಲೇಸ್ ವೇರ್ ಗ್ರೇಟ್ ಫೆಸ್ಟಿವಲ್ಸ್ ಟು ಸೆಲೆಬ್ರೇಟ್ ದ ಪಾಸ್ಟ್ ಟೈಮ್ಸ್ ಅಂಡ್ ಅಪಿಯರೆನ್ಸಸ್ ಆಫ್ ದ ಸುಪ್ರೀಂ ಲಾರ್ಡ್ ಆರ್ ನಾಟ್ ಹ್ಯಾಪನಿಂಗ್. ಬೇಸಿಕಲಿ ದೇ ಆರ್ ಡಿಸ್ಕ್ರೈಬಿಂಗ್ ಎ ಪ್ಲೇಸ್ ವಿಚ್ ಈಸ್ ನಾಟ್ ವರ್ತ್ ಲಿವಿಂಗ್. ದ ಪ್ಲೇಸ್ ವೇರ್ ಕೃಷ್ಣಕಥಾ ರಿವರ್ ಈಸ್ ನಾಟ್ ಫ್ಲೋಯಿಂಗ್, ದ ಪ್ಲೇಸ್ ವೇರ್ ಡಿವೋಟೀಸ್ ಹೂ ಟುಕ್ ಶೆಲ್ಟರ್ ಆಫ್ ಕೃಷ್ಣಕಥಾ ಆರ್ ನಾಟ್ ಲಿವಿಂಗ್, ದ ಪ್ಲೇಸ್ ವೇರ್ ಫೆಸ್ಟಿವಲ್ಸ್ ಅಂಡ್ ಸಂಕೀರ್ತನ್ ಪ್ರೋಗ್ರಾಮ್ಸ್ ಆರ್ ನಾಟ್ ಬೀಯಿಂಗ್ ಕಂಡಕ್ಟೆಡ್, ದ್ಯಾಟ್ ಪ್ಲೇಸ್ ಈಸ್ ನಾಟ್ ವರ್ತ್ ಲಿವಿಂಗ್. ಸುರೇಶ ಲೋಕೋಪಿ ನ ವೈ ಸಸೇವ್ಯತಾಂ, ಈವನ್ ಇಫ್ ಇಟ್ ಈಸ್ ದ ಅಬೋರ್ಡ್ ಆಫ್ ದ ಕಿಂಗ್ ಆಫ್ ಹೆವೆನ್, ಸ್ಟಿಲ್ ಇಟ್ ಈಸ್ ನಾಟ್ ವರ್ತ್ ಲಿವಿಂಗ್ ಇನ್ ಸಚ್ ಎ ಪ್ಲೇಸ್. ದ ಪ್ಲೇಸ್ ವೇರ್ ಕೃಷ್ಣಕಥಾ ಡಿವೋಟೀಸ್ ಅಂಡ್ ಫೆಸ್ಟಿವಲ್ಸ್ ಆರ್ ದೇರ್, ದಟ್ ಈಸ್ ದ ಓನ್ಲಿ ಪ್ಲೇಸ್ ವರ್ತ್ ಲಿವಿಂಗ್. ಇಫ್ ಯು ಆರ್ ಕನ್ಸಿಡರಿಂಗ್ ವೇರ್ ಐ ಶುಡ್ ಲಿವ್, ವಿ ಶುಡ್ ಹ್ಯಾವ್ ಆಕ್ಸೆಸ್ ಟು ದೀಸ್ ತ್ರೀ ಐಟಮ್ಸ್. ದ ಡೆಮಿಗಾಡ್ಸ್ ಈವನ್ ಸೇ ದಟ್ ಇಟ್ಸ್ ಬೆಟರ್ ಟು ಲಿವ್ ಇನ್ ದ ಏರ್ ಟೈಟ್ ವೂಂಬ್ ಆಫ್ ಎ ಮದರ್, ರೈಟ್, ವೇರ್ ಯು ಕ್ಯಾಂಟ್ ಸಿ ಲೈಟ್ ಓನ್ಲಿ, ವೇರ್ ಯು ಮೇ ಬಿ ಬಿಟನ್ ಬೈ ದ ವಾರ್ಮ್ಸ್ ವಿತ್ ಇನ್ ದ ಮದರ್ಸ್ ಊಮ್, ವೇರ್ ಸ್ಟೂಲ್ ಅಂಡ್ ಯೂರಿನ್ ಆರ್ ಅರೌಂಡ್ ಆಲ್ ಆಫ್ ಯು. ದ್ಯಾಟ್ ಈಸ್ ಕ್ವೈಟ್ ಬೆಟರ್ ಇಫ್ ಐ ಕ್ಯಾನ್ ರಿಮೆಂಬರ್ ಕೃಷ್ಣ ಇನ್ ದಟ್ ಸಿಚುಯೇಷನ್. ಸೊ ವಿ ಕ್ಯಾಂಟ್ ಇಮ್ಯಾಜಿನ್ ಹೌ ಟು ಬಿ ಇನ್ ಎ ಪ್ಲೇಸ್ ವೇರ್ ದೇರ್ ಇಸ್ ನೋ ಲೈಟ್, ದೇರ್ ಇಸ್ ನೋ ಸ್ಕೋಪ್ ಫಾರ್ ಮೂಮೆಂಟ್, ವಿ ಆರ್ ಜಸ್ಟ್ ಪ್ಯಾಕ್ಡ್ ಇನ್ ಎ ಸ್ಯಾಕ್, ರೈಟ್, ಇಟ್ಸ್ ಕಂಪ್ಲೀಟ್ಲಿ ಸೀಲ್ಡ್, ಯು ಕ್ಯಾಂಟ್ ಸಿ ಎನಿಥಿಂಗ್. ದ್ಯಾಟ್ ಇಸ್ ನಾಟ್ ಎ ವೆರಿ ಕಂಫರ್ಟಬಲ್ ಸಿಚುಯೇಷನ್, ಬಟ್ ದ ಡೆಮಿಗಾಡ್ ಸೇ ದ್ಯಾಟ್ ಇಸ್ ಬೆಟರ್. ಇಫ್ ಐ ಕ್ಯಾನ್ ರಿಮೆಂಬರ್ ಕೃಷ್ಣ, ದ್ಯಾಟ್ ಪ್ಲೇಸ್ ಇಸ್ ಮಚ್ ಬೆಟರ್ ದ್ಯಾನ್ ಎ ಪ್ಲೇಸ್ ವೇರ್ ಕೃಷ್ಣಕಥಾ ಇಸ್ ನಾಟ್ ದೇರ್, ಡಿವೋಟೀಸ್ ಆರ್ ನಾಟ್ ದೇರ್, ರೈಟ್. ಸೊ ಸಂಭವ ಬೈ ಕೃಷ್ಣಸ್ ಗ್ರೇಸ್ ಸಮ್ ರೇರ್ ಸೋಲ್ಸ್ ಇನ್ ದಿಸ್ ಬಿಗ್ ಯೂನಿವರ್ಸ್ ಆರ್ ಫಾರ್ಚುನೇಟ್ ಎನಫ್ ಟು ಆಕ್ಸೆಸ್ ಕೃಷ್ಣಕಥಾ ಇನ್ ದ ಅಸೋಸಿಯೇಷನ್ ಆಫ್ ಡಿವೋಟೀಸ್ ಅಂಡ್ ಅಟೆಂಡ್ ಸಮ್ ಫೆಸ್ಟಿವಲ್ಸ್, ರೈಟ್. ಇಟ್ಸ್ ಎ ಗ್ರೇಟ್ ಫಾರ್ಚುನ್. ಡಿವೋಟೀಸ್ ಆರ್ ಎ ಮೈನಾರಿಟಿ ಇನ್ ದಿಸ್ ವರ್ಲ್ಡ್, ಬೈ ದ ವೇ. ಸೊ ದೇರ್ ಆರ್ ಮಿಲಿಯನ್ಸ್ ಅಂಡ್ ಟ್ರಿಲಿಯನ್ಸ್ ಆಫ್ ಪೀಪಲ್. ವಾಟ್ ಈಸ್ ದ ಪರ್ಸೆಂಟೇಜ್ ಆಫ್ ಡಿವೋಟೀಸ್ ಹೂ ಕ್ಯಾನ್ ರೆಗ್ಯುಲರ್ಲಿ ಹಿಯರ್ ಭಾಗವತಂ ಆರ್ ಸ್ಟಡಿ ಭಾಗವತಂ, ಟೇಕ್ ದರ್ಶನ್ ಆಫ್ ದ ಡಿಟೀಸ್ ಆರ್ ಚಾಂಟ್ ಹರೇ ಕೃಷ್ಣ ಇದರ್ ಇನ್ ಹೋಮ್ಸ್ ಆರ್ ಟೆಂಪಲ್ಸ್, ದೇ ಆರ್ ವೆರಿ ರೇರ್. ಸೊ ದ ಆಸ್ ಕಲಿಯುಗ ಪ್ರೋಗ್ರೆಸಸ್, ಐ ಎಮ್ ನಾಟ್ ಶೋರ್ ಹೌ ಮಚ್ ವಾಟ್ ಈಸ್ ದ ಎಕ್ಸ್ಟೆಂಟ್ ಆಫ್ ದಿಸ್ ರೇರಿಟಿ. ಸೊ ಪಾಯಿಂಟ್ ಈಸ್ ವನ್ ಹ್ಯಾಸ್ ಪ್ರೊಫ್ಯೂಸ್ ಆಕ್ಸೆಸ್ ಟು ದಿಸ್ ಪ್ರಿವಿಲೇಜಸ್, ಒನ್ ನೀಡ್ಸ್ ಟು ಟೇಕ್ ಗುಡ್ ಅಡ್ವಾಂಟೇಜ್ ಆಫ್ ಆಲ್ ದಿಸ್ ಪ್ರಿವಿಲೇಜಸ್ ಅಂಡ್ ದ್ಯಾಟ್ ಈಸ್ ದ ಹೈಯೆಸ್ಟ್ ಆಸ್ಪಿರೇಷನ್. ಹಿಯರಿಂಗ್ ಕೃಷ್ಣಕಥಾ ಇನ್ ದ ಅಸೋಸಿಯೇಷನ್ ಆಫ್ ಡಿವೋಟೀಸ್ ಇಸ್ ದ ಟಾಪ್ ಮೋಸ್ಟ್ ಆಸ್ಪಿರೇಷನ್ ಆಫ್ ದ ಪ್ಯೂರೆಸ್ಟ್ ಡಿವೋಟೀಸ್ ಹೂ ಸ್ಟೋರೀಸ್ ಆರ್ ಡಿಸ್ಕ್ರೈಬ್ಡ್ ಥ್ರೂಔಟ್ ಶ್ರೀಮದ್ ಭಾಗವತಂ. ಅಂಡ್ ವಿ ಡೆವಲಪ್ ಆಲ್ ಗುಡ್ ಕ್ವಾಲಿಟೀಸ್ ಅಂಡ್ ವೈಷ್ಣವ ಕ್ವಾಲಿಟೀಸ್ ಓನ್ಲಿ ಬೈ ಸಚ್ ಡಿವೋಷನ್ ಟು ಕೃಷ್ಣ, ಅಂಡ್ ವಿ ಗೆಟ್ ಇನ್ಸ್ಪೈರ್ ಟು ಕಲ್ಟಿವೇಟ್ ದೋಸ್ ಗುಡ್ ಕ್ವಾಲಿಟೀಸ್ ವೆನ್ ವಿ ಆರ್ ಇನ್ ದ ಮಿಡ್ಸ್ಟ್ ಆಫ್ ಡಿವೋಟೀಸ್ ಹೂ ಹ್ಯಾವ್ ದೋಸ್ ಗುಡ್ ಕ್ವಾಲಿಟೀಸ್, ರೈಟ್. ಸೊ ಆಲ್ ದ ಡಿವೋಟೀಸ್, ವಿ ಸಾ ಸಮ್ ಡಿವೋಟೀಸ್ ಎಕ್ಸಿಬಿಟಿಂಗ್ ರಿನನ್ಸಿಯೇಷನ್, ಡಿಟ್ಯಾಚ್ಮೆಂಟ್, ಟಾಲರೆನ್ಸ್, ಫರ್ಗ್ಯೂನೆಸ್, ಒಬೀಡಿಯನ್ಸ್, ಬಿಕಾಸ್ ಸಮ್ ಡಿವೋಟಿ ವಿಲ್ ಕಮ್ ಅಂಡ್ ದೆನ್ ಗಿವ್ ಅಸ್ ಗುಡ್ ಇನ್ಸ್ಟ್ರಕ್ಷನ್. ನೌ ಫಾರ್ ಎಕ್ಸಾಂಪಲ್, ವ್ಯಾಸದೇವ್ ಇಸ್ ಸಚ್ ಅನ್ ಅಕಂಪ್ಲಿಷ್ಡ್ ಆಥರ್ ಅಂಡ್ ಹೀ ರೋಟ್ ಸೋ ಮೆನಿ ವೇದಿಕ್ ಲಿಟ್ರೇಚರ್ಸ್, ಬಟ್ ಸ್ಟಿಲ್ ಹಿ ವಾಸ್ ಡಿಸ್ಸಾಟಿಸ್ಫೈಡ್ ವಿತ್ ಆಲ್ ಗುಡ್ ಇಂಟೆನ್ಷನ್ಸ್ ಟು ಗೈಡ್ ಪೀಪಲ್ ಇನ್ ಜನರಲ್, ಟು ಗೈಡ್ ಆಲ್ ದಿ ಕಲಿಯುಗ ಪೀಪಲ್ ಇನ್ ಪ್ರಾಪರ್ ಪಾತ್ ಅಂಡ್ ಗಿವ್ ದಮ್ ಸ್ಪಿರಿಚುವಲ್ ಪಾತ್. ಹೀ ರೋಟ್ ಸೋ ಮೆನಿ ಲಿಟ್ರೇಚರ್ಸ್, ಹೀ ರೋಟ್ ಉಪನಿಷತ್, ಹೀ ರೋಟ್ ಪುರಾಣಸ್, ಹೀ ರೋಟ್ ಮಹಾಭಾರತ್ ಅಂಡ್ ಸೋ ಮೆನಿ ಥಿಂಗ್, ಬಟ್ ಸ್ಟಿಲ್ ಹಿ ವಾಸ್ ಡಿಸ್ಸಾಟಿಸ್ಫೈಡ್. ದೆನ್ ನಾರದ ಮುನಿ ಇಂಟರ್ವೀನ್ ಅಂಡ್ ಸೇಡ್, ಮೈ ಡಿಯರ್ ವ್ಯಾಸದೇವ್, ಯು ಹ್ಯಾವ್ ಗಿವನ್ ಟೂ ಮಚ್ ಪ್ರಾಮಿನೆನ್ಸ್ ಟು ಫೋರ್ ಪುರುಷಾರ್ಥಸ್ ಅಂಡ್ ಯು ಹ್ಯಾವ್ ನಾಟ್ ಸಫಿಷಿಯೆಂಟ್ಲಿ ಗ್ಲೋರಿಫೈಡ್ ಕೃಷ್ಣಕಥಾ ಅಂಡ್ ಭಕ್ತಿ ಯೋಗ ಅಂಡ್ ಕೃಷ್ಣಸ್ ಡೈರೆಕ್ಟ್ ಪಾಸ್ಟೈಮ್ಸ್. ದ್ಯಾಟ್ಸ್ ದ ರೀಸನ್ ಫಾರ್ ಯುವರ್ ಡಿಸ್ಸಾಟಿಸ್ಫ್ಯಾಕ್ಷನ್. ಈವನ್ ಎ ಪರ್ಸನ್ ಎಟ್ ದ ಸ್ಟೇಜ್ ಆಫ್ ವ್ಯಾಸದೇವ್ ಆಲ್ಸೋ ನೀಡೆಡ್ ಗೈಡೆನ್ಸ್ ಅಂಡ್ ಅಸೋಸಿಯೇಷನ್ ಫ್ರಮ್ ನಾರದ ಮುನಿ. ಸೊ ವಿತೌಟ್ ದ ಗೈಡೆನ್ಸ್ ಅಂಡ್ ಇಂಟರ್ವೆನ್ಷನ್ ಆಫ್ ಮೆಚ್ಯೂರ್ ಡಿವೋಟೀಸ್, ವಿ ಮೇ ನಾಟ್ ಬಿ ಏಬಲ್ ಟು ಟ್ರಾವರ್ಸ್ ಆನ್ ದ ಪಾತ್ ಆಫ್ ಡಿವೋಷನ್ ಟು ಕೃಷ್ಣ ಪ್ರಾಪರ್ಲಿ. ಈವನ್ ದಿಸ್ ಇನ್ ದ ಸೆವೆಂತ್ ಕ್ಯಾಂಟೋ, ಸೆವೆಂತ್ ಚಾಪ್ಟರ್ ಆಫ್ ಟೆಂತ್ ಕ್ಯಾಂಟೋ, ಪರೀಕ್ಷಿತ್ ಮಹಾರಾಜ್ ಜಸ್ಟ್ ಹೇರ್ಡ್ ದಿಸ್ ಪಾಸ್ಟ್ ಟೈಮ್ ಆಫ್ ಪೂತನ. ಸೊ ಸುಖದೇವ ಗೋಸ್ವಾಮಿ ಕನ್ಕ್ಲೂಡೆಡ್ ದ ಪಾಸ್ಟ್ ಟೈಮ್ ಆಫ್ ಪೂತನ ಬೈ ಗಿವಿಂಗ್ ಎ ಫಲಶ್ರುತಿ. ಗೋವಿಂದೇ ಲಭತೆ ರತಿಂ, ಒನ್ ಹೂ ಹಿಯರ್ಸ್ ದಿಸ್ ಗ್ರೇಟ್ ಪಾಸ್ಟ್ ಟೈಮ್, ಚೈಲ್ಡ್ಹುಡ್ ಪಾಸ್ಟ್ ಟೈಮ್ ಆಫ್ ಕೃಷ್ಣ ಆಫ್ ಡೆಲಿವರಿಂಗ್ ಪೂತನ, ವಿಲ್ ಡೆವಲಪ್ ಡಿವೋಷನ್, ಗ್ರೇಟ್ ಅಟ್ರಾಕ್ಷನ್ ಟುವರ್ಡ್ಸ್ ಸುಪ್ರೀಂ ಲಾರ್ಡ್ ಗೋವಿಂದ. ದೆನ್ ಪರೀಕ್ಷಿತ್ ಮಹಾರಾಜ್ ಥಾಟ್, ಅರೇ ಹೀ ಈಸ್ ಕನ್ಕ್ಲೂಡಿಂಗ್ ದ ಪಾಸ್ಟ್ ಟೈಮ್ ಸರ್, ವಾಟ್, ವೈ ಇಸ್ ಈ ಗಿವಿಂಗ್ ಫಲಶ್ರುತಿ ನೌ, ಐ ವಾಂಟ್ ಟು ಹಿಯರ್ ಮೋರ್. He told only one pastime. Then Parikshit Maharaj just shared his realizations. In two verses, he said, "My dear Sukadeva Goswami, you should not be stopping the pastimes of Krishna at this stage. You should continue to describe Krishna's pastimes because with my maturity, with whatever knowledge I have, whatever intelligence I could develop in your association, I found 7 effects of hearing Krishna Katha, especially Krishna's childhood pastimes. I'll share them. After that, if you think I'm qualified enough to hear all these Krishna's pastimes, so you please share." Now he says that Yena Yenavatarena Bhagavan Haririshvarah Karoti Karnaramyani Manognanichanah Prabhu. Yena Yena Avatarena. In various incarnations, Krishna has descended and performed so many pastimes. Yena Yenavatarena Bhagavan Haririshvarah Karoti Karnaramyani. All the pastimes that Krishna has done are very pleasing to the ears. Karnaramyani. Manognanichanah Prabho. They are very pleasing to the heart also, mind also. Next. Yes, Srinvato Apaiti Aratir Vitrishna Satvamcha Sudhyati Achirena Pumsaha. By hearing all these pastimes, first is pleasing to the ears, second is pleasing to the heart, third is Apaiti Aratir Vitrishna. Whatever distaste that we have to hear Krishna Katha is completely vanquished. Okay? And whatever lack of eagerness that we have to hear Krishna Katha, that is also vanquished. One thing is, you are not eager to hear Krishna Katha. Second thing is, even while hearing Krishna Katha, somebody is dozing, sleeping. Right? He is not relishing. For example, you are a North Indian, you are given South idli, and you are not eager to eat idli. That is first point. Second point is, even while eating idli, you are bored. You are unable to eat. Right? If you want to develop real taste while eating idli, you need to hear Krishna Katha. So idli basically is hearing Krishna Katha there. So if while one is not enthusiastic to hear Krishna Katha, second is while hearing Krishna Katha is unable to relish it. These two are vanquished while hearing Krishna's childhood pastimes. So two more effects. First two and second two. Satvamcha shudhyati achirena pumsaha. So one's heart will be completely cleansed and one will develop wonderful relationships with other devotees and one's devotion to Krishna will increase. These are the 7 effects of hearing Krishna Katha. Okay, he summarizes. I also summarized. Now, finally he says, Tadeva haram vada manyase chet. He says, with my intelligence, I could figure out these effects of hearing Krishna Katha, especially Krishna's childhood pastimes. So, I am very eager and enthusiastic to hear. And I am not very happy that you have concluded Putana's pastime with a Phalashruti. So you should continue more and more childhood pastimes. But my understanding will become a conviction if you approve it. If you think that I am not qualified enough to continue hearing Krishna's childhood pastimes, you don't have to speak. Right? Tadeva haram vadamanya sechet. If you also feel that I should hear, then you speak. He is not demanding. Right? There is some kind of push, expression of eagerness, but decision is left to him only. Sukadeva Goswami, I put myself under your guidance. If you think it is appropriate for me to hear, you please speak. So he already reached the 10th canto. Within 7 days, he was hearing entire Bhagavatam. And when he reached the 10th canto, maybe a few days already passed, he just in a couple of days, 2-3 days, he is about to go back to Godhead and now he is seeking guidance. He is seeking guidance of Sukadeva Goswami. Now, if you recommend that I can hear these topics, you can speak. Otherwise, you won't speak. Same thing, Suta Goswami, Naimisharani sages also said Suta Goswami. Right? So, devotee with his own conviction, he may feel that this is good, but he wanted to reconfirm that conviction from another senior person. Right? And ultimately, when somebody has pure devotion, that conviction is often valid. But out of humility, devotee reconfirms that conviction with a senior person, verifies it instead of being overconfident. Because if there is some little discrepancy here and there, which is not very much understandable by my intelligence, a senior person can guide me. Right? So that's why Parikshit Maharaj is putting his decision in front of Sukadeva Goswami. And Sukadeva Goswami said, "You are the most qualified person to hear Krishna Katha." without speaking a single word, he continues Trinavarta episode, Sakatasura episode, after the Trinavarta. Like that, he continues all the childhood pastimes. Right? What you have understood is correct. So, like that. And even if Sukadeva Goswami sometimes tests Parikshit Maharaj, he says, Parikshit Maharaj says, how can all these devotees or all these human beings be protected from entering hellish conditions? Then Sukadeva Goswami says, they should perform atonement. They are doing so many sinful activities and they are entitled to go to hell. So if they perform karmakandic atonement, they will be protected from entering hellish planets. Oh, really? Then Parikshit Maharaj says, I don't accept this answer. Kunjara Sauchavat, Manye Kunjara Sauchavat, what is the use of your atonement if the sinful propensities are still there? I cannot accept this. He rejected that also. So devotees themselves are also very thoughtful. They can understand whether my superior is testing me or instructing me. Right? They will pass the test. So they can hear a yes behind a no, they can hear a no behind a yes. For example, Parikshit Maharaj, Arjuna was told by Krishna so emphatically with multiple reasons, you should kill Ashwatthama. But Arjuna could understand that Krishna was only testing me. He didn't want me to kill Ashwatthama. He is testing me. I'll pass this test. I didn't kill him. So he takes him to Draupadi. You know what happened later. So like that, in a sense, I was just sharing a few things about the detachment of Rajarshis and about the right way of responding to various situations and manifesting good qualities and mature qualities by devotees. And that happens only by bhakti. And we also discussed, even if sometimes a devotee fails to respond appropriately in a certain moment, other devotees will come and guide them. So the safest situation is to be in the association of devotees and be dedicated to the process of Krishna Katha. Hare Krishna. Granthara Srimad Bhagavatam ki jaya, Srila Prabhupada ki jaya.